One of the most familiar passages of Scripture is John chapter 3, verse 16. Seems like everybody seems to know that from the time that they were a little kid. And yet it's really been misunderstood and misapplied, I believe. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Basically, traditionally, this scripture has been used to teach that Jesus came and died for our sins so that we wouldn't perish. And that's where the emphasis has been. But this verse is saying that the real purpose of Jesus coming to this earth and dying for us was so that we could have everlasting life. And it just so happened that our sins were a barrier that stood between us and this everlasting life. And so it is true that, yes, Jesus did die for our sins. And it is true that if we believe on Jesus, we will not perish. But there is much more to the gospel than that. The real message of the gospel is that God wanted to give you everlasting life. Now, there needs to be a little explanation of that. Jesus, over in John chapter 17, the night before his crucifixion, Jesus was praying, and he said this in John 17:2, "As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." This is saying that everlasting life is knowing God, the only true Father, and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. That's what everlasting life is. Many people think that everlasting life is living forever. Well, every person lives forever. It's a misconception to think that when a person dies that they cease to exist. The spirit and the soul go back to God. The body decays in the grave. But the truth is, every person who has ever lived on the face of the earth is continuing to live in spirit form. And so to say that eternal life is living forever, everybody's living forever. And yet this is making it very clear that this isn't for everyone. And some people would say, well, it's living forever in heaven versus living forever in hell. But you can see that that's not what it's talking about also, because back to John chapter 3, in verse 36, it says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." Right there it says that everlasting life can be a present tense possession, not something that's going to take place in the future, but something that is a reality right now. Also, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 says, "I've written these things unto you so that you may know that you have," present tense, "eternal life." So eternal life isn't just living forever, and it's not just living forever in heaven versus living forever in hell. But eternal life is just like Jesus said in John 17:3, it's knowing God and Jesus Christ. It's more than an intellectual knowledge. This word "know" is used throughout Scripture to describe the most intimate, personal relationship that you can have. For instance, in Genesis chapter 4, the Scripture there says that Adam knew his wife Eve and that she conceived and had a son. It's talking about the sexual relationship between a man and a woman. Intimacy. So when this says that eternal life is knowing the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent, what this is saying is that eternal life is having intimacy, personal relationship with God. Now, put that back with John chapter 3 and verse 16. And this is saying that God loved you and me so much that he gave his only begotten Son so that we would not perish but have intimacy, closeness, personal relationship with God Almighty. Now, that has not always been the message that we've had preached. Really, you hear often that, you know, repent or else turn or burn. You either repent or you are going to go to hell. And there are many people that are drawn to the Lord out of a sense of fear of going to hell. And so they confess the Lord out of desperation, not wanting to go to hell. Now, let me say this, that if the only benefit of salvation was getting your sins forgiven and that you would not go to hell, that would be more than we deserve. That would still be goodness on the part of God, and it would still be worth preaching and sharing with people. But these scriptures reveal that there's much more to salvation than just getting your sins forgiven. As a matter of fact, I can say this, that if all a person does is come to the Lord to get your sins forgiven so that you will not perish, and if that is your motivation, and if that's what your faith was released for, then you may be born again. You may have a ticket to heaven, but you are missing out on the real purpose of salvation. The real purpose of salvation isn't missing hell. The real purpose of salvation is not living forever in heaven, as great as that is. But the real purpose of salvation is to have intimacy, personal relationship with the Lord God. And there are multitudes of people that have cried out to God for the forgiveness of their sins that have never even had as a goal intimacy with God. By doing that, we actually do a disservice to the gospel. Because when we present salvation as something dealing with just spiritual things that are going to take place and really have benefit off in the future in eternity, by doing that, there are some people who are living in such a literal hell themselves right now where they are. They are so depressed. They're dealing with poverty. They're dealing with strife and rejection and hurt and fallen marriages and all of these things that some people are trying to survive day to day. They're just trying to keep their head above water. And by making salvation something that deals with off in the future only, many times those people are so occupied with trying to survive that they can't think about the future. They just keep putting off that decision. But the truth is that Jesus came, yes, to affect our eternal destiny. Yes, so that we can live forever in heaven in blessing instead of in the punishment and the curse of hell. But Jesus also came to deliver us from this present evil world, is what it says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. Jesus came to give you intimacy and personal relationship with God the Father today. The first century church had a concept of this that I believe that our modern day church has lost. And we can see that in many writings, but also in history. You can see this. I actually have been to Rome. I went over there when I was 18 years old. And I remember going to the Circus Maximus and to the Colosseum where they threw Christians to the lions and burned them on the stake. And I remember reading an inscription of a person in the catacombs because the Christians had to bury their dead in the walls of the catacomb because the Romans would deface their graves. So they would bring their dead back and put them in there and they would put inscriptions. And this inscription had been translated into about five or six languages. And I read in English, it said, "Here lies my wife and 6 months old daughter who gave their life today for the glory of Jesus Christ in the Circus Maximus." It was written like something he was proud of, something he was glorifying God. You didn't hear grief in what he said. There wasn't despondency. These people had a quality of relationship with God that was so dynamic that there are actual accounts of Romans jumping out of the stands and running out there knowing that they were going to be put to death. But they would confess this Jesus that the Christians had died for because they saw such joy on their faces. Nero literally stuck his fingers in his ears and says, "Why must these Christians sing as they die?" There was such a grace, such a joy, that there are accounts of the Christians actually fighting over who got to go first and be martyred. I'm saying this to say that there was a quality of relationship with God that I believe was the true intent of Christianity that sometimes we miss today. Jesus didn't come only to forgive you of your sins, as wonderful as that would have been. But sin was just a barrier that stood between us and this intimacy with God. Jesus came to bring you back into close, personal relationship with Him. Jesus loves you. Jesus wants to know you personally. Jesus wants to give you a quality of life that is greater than anything you could obtain through any other source, through doing anything else. Jesus put it this way in John 10:10. He says, "The thief," speaking of Satan, "comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly." God wants to give you eternal life. God wants to give you abundant life. And I believe that today you need that too. You want that. I just want to share with you that God died not only to forgive your sins, but to bring you into closeness, personal relationship. If you don't know the Lord, you need to know Him for that purpose. If you've already been born again, you need to go beyond just getting your sins forgiven and enter into everlasting life with the Father. God bless you as you consider that today.